All right, wonderful. Thank you, ladies. And once again, thank you, church, for all that you did to make Friend Day special. Take your Bibles, if you would, and join me tonight in Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55, I'm going to finish what I started on Wednesday. We're finishing out the entire month of April has been designated as Family Month here at our church. All the teaching and preaching in the evening services on Wednesday and Sunday have been focused in that area. Now, before we get to Psalm 55, we'll read that in just a moment. I just want to refresh your memory about what we learned on Wednesday night, just briefly. If you'll remember, we went to the book of Ruth, and remember Ruth told Naomi, she said, "Where thou lodgest, or where thou go, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And then she said, "Thy God, my God." And one of the things that we learned about the bonding, which is kind of the title, the beauty of bonding in the home, was something that's missing today in our time in 2013 that has been such an element, such has been part of the fabric of families for generations. 50, 75 years ago, one of the greatest things that existed in families is they made God real. God was real to people in that day, and they made him real. They actually prayed around meals, whether it was at home or whether it was outside the home. They actually gave God credit for everything. They blessed his name for the rain, for the beautiful weather, for all of the things that they did. But God was real. Well, how is it that Ruth could leave everything that she had ever known and go to a land that she knew nothing of? The only thing that I can see in Naomi's life was she made God real. She made God real. And if our homes are going to be bound together for a lifetime, to where that, you know what, when we get, as the mom and dad get older, the kids huddle around and care for the parents. They nurture the parents. And then when the children get in situations, the parents nurture the children. That's called bonding. The way that that happens is when God's made real in that home. Tonight, I want to move to the second part I want us to look at. Would you stand with me? We're going to read in verse number 22 of Psalm 55, and then I'm going to read just a few other verses here to you. Psalm 55 and verse 22. The scripture says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Now, I want you to notice the first statement there. He said, "Cast thy burden." Cast thy burden. Now, take your Bible, if you would, go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You'll recognize it. I'm going to start reading, even if you haven't made it there. Say, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." Now listen now, look what he says. "And my burden is light." Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take God up on that one. He said, look, we're not going to turn there, but you'll understand in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, the scripture says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What I want to cover tonight, and then basically I just want to be candid with you on the last part of the message tonight, but I want to speak to you tonight about one of the bonding elements of the home. Not only do we need to make God real, but the second thing I want to talk to you about for just a moment is we also need to bear one another's burdens. We need to bear one another's burdens. So, Father, now would you help us as we learn about this principle tonight? Would you do something very special in our hearts? We're thankful for all that you have done today. We do not take anything for granted. We pray that you'd bless the people, bless the message, encourage us now in our homes. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I want to talk to you for just a moment about burden bearing as one of the bonding elements of the home. Now, before I do that, the verses that I read you in Psalm 55, Matthew 11, and quoted to you from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, are all principles that Jesus not only taught, but he exemplified himself. They're so very, very important in the bonding part of your home. And bearing one another's burdens. A burden is this, church. A burden is a load that's being carried by someone that causes stress and or labor upon the one that's bearing it. If you've ever seen someone carrying something on their shoulders, or you've seen someone carrying a heavy package or something, I'm amazed at how many people will sit there and watch somebody carry a heavy package and never even open the door for them. That is not burden bearing. Okay? And but you know, as a family, we need to bear one another's burdens. Are you there in Matthew? And for some reason I'm stuck in Matthew. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the burden or the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Look what else he says. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have," what does that next word say? "Hope." Did you notice that Paul was teaching a principle here that we'll look at here in just a moment? But before we do that, turn it quickly, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. You'll recognize it when you get there. Listen to what Paul says. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Now here's a principle. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And listen to what he says. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You say, wait a minute now, by bearing one another's burdens as a family, we're actually fulfilling the law of Christ. Yeah, it's taught in John chapter 13. Remember, Jesus made this statement, "Ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, many people would consider that the golden rule, that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. But listen, if that's a golden rule that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves, then how much more should we love our family? How much more should we bear the burdens of the people that are in our home, the people that we love and that we care for more than anything in this world? Church, tonight, what I want to do is I want to give you just a few things to think about this area of bearing one another's burdens in the home. First of all, I think it consists of several things. First of all, I think it consists of unconditional love. Unconditional love. Now, church, our homes should be a place where the motto ought to be all for one and one for all, and not an individual independent attitude. It shouldn't be a situation to where one stumbles and one struggles that nobody has anything to do with that individual anymore. I'm amazed in our day that how very small margin of error we allow people, even in our own families. We allow them a very small margin of error. And yet Jesus displayed to us unconditional love. When the scripture says, "For God so loved the world." Hey, folks, listen, he does love the saved, but he also loves the lost, and he wants them to be saved. See, I'm here to tell you that as a family, we need to exemplify unconditional love. Listen to me, mamas and daddies, refuse to allow conditional terms in your home in order to be loved. Amen. Preach, I'll just amen myself. I said refuse to allow conditional terms in your home in order to be loved. I get so tired of hearing people say, "Well, I'll love you if," or "I'll help you if." Listen, what if Jesus said, "I'll die for you if"? "I'll pay the price and help you if." No, no, no. He didn't say, there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He died to provide a way of salvation for you and I, then why do we put conditions on our own family members in order to love them and help them? Listen, we need to practice unconditional love. Our home should be a all for one, one for all attitude and spirit. Never should there ever be in a home any conditions on being loved or helped. Listen to me. By any member of your family. I don't care if it's mom or dad or the children. Now let me say this to you. Can y'all handle this okay? Because I was a kid one time. And you know kids can be cruel. And if anybody is going to be conditional, children will be conditional. Mamas and daddies, don't ever allow it. Don't ever allow those kids to say, I will love them or I will help them if they do something for me in return. Listen to me. Manipulated love is pseudo love. Manipulated love is pseudo love. If somebody has to work for your love, that's not genuine love. Because love is given. Love should never, ever have to be earned. So we need to display unconditional love. Our home should be an all for one, one for all spirit. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. Teach your family responsibilities to aid one another. Teach your family the responsibility to come to one another's aid. Now, I'm going to hit on this in another aspect in just a second, but I want you to listen to me. Children must be taught to work together. Children must be taught in our homes to work together. Mamas and daddies, if we create an independent attitude and an independent spirit among our children, let me tell you something. Here's what will happen when they leave home. They'll split from each other and never talk again. You don't want that. You want a camaraderie. You want it, listen, that when they come home for Christmas time or come home for Thanksgiving, it's not a bickering time. Listen, I know families that don't even meet together for Christmas and Thanksgiving no more because all they do is argue. Because they never had a bonding attitude. They never had the spirit of bonding in their home. There was never an attitude of unconditional love or burden bearing. Children must be taught to work together with each other. But listen, they must also be taught to work together with the parents. They must also be taught to work together with mom and dad. And children, listen to me. You're to work with mom and dad regardless of your preferences or your opinions. Because listen, you haven't been down the road far enough. You haven't been around the corner as many times as mom and dad has. You need to be able to work with mom and dad with the conditions and the situation that is presented them. Listen to me. We ought to have in our homes the principle of considering thyself. You know, my dad used to tell me, he said, listen, put yourself in their shoes. You know, I never understood what he talked about. Have you ever heard somebody said, well, I tell you what, before you criticize somebody, walk a mile in their shoes. I never understood what he was talking about until I got a little bit older. And then I began to think about, wait a minute now, the biblical principle, would I want to be treated like that? Listen, remember the principle, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, or a mama, a daddy, a teenager, a child, that shall he also reap. I'm just here to tell you, we need to teach our family's responsibility to aid one another. And then I want to say the third thing is we found here in Romans chapter 15. Look at it, if you would, in verse number 1. Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, the burdens of the weak. We need to preach the stronger, weaker principle. The stronger, weaker principle. Now, church, listen to me very carefully. Every family member has their temperament strengths and their temperament weaknesses. Amen, preacher. Everybody does. Now, listen, here's the thing about it. You know what a bonded family does? A bonded family figures out what everybody's weaknesses are and everybody's strengths are. And listen, you'll find out that in your own family, one of your children's strengths may be the other's weakness. And you will find out also, husbands and wives, that what your wife's strengths are may be your weaknesses, Dad. Or what the man's strengths are may be the wife's weaknesses. And there's an understanding of those strengths and weaknesses of our temperaments. And you know what a family does? A family nurtures those. A family protects those. A family gets together. And they coordinate. It's harmony together. See, every family member has those strengths and weaknesses. And I want to say this to you. Sometimes those weaknesses shine brighter than the strengths do. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, yeah. You know why I can tell? Go home and take a hammer and hit your finger. See if the strengths or the weaknesses come out. You see, sometimes the weaknesses shine brighter than the strengths. That's the reason, folks, listen to me. Don't judge someone or a family member because they're having a bad day. You ever had a bad day? You said, are you kidding me? I'm having a bad life. Well, listen, don't spoil the rest of us then, all right? Everybody's going to have a tough time or a rough day. But listen, we need to teach the stronger, weaker principle. Listen, the strength of some family members will be the weakness of others and vice versa. Know your family and be willing to help each other with their weaknesses. And step up and help one another. Boy, I tell you, remember I told you last week, my parents, they didn't get saved till, or my dad didn't get saved till later on in life. But my parents had no idea that I would be in the ministry. They're still amazed. They still go to the online and check just to make sure it's still true. Now, I'm just here to tell you, folks, I didn't get saved till I was 23. I was rotten to the core, man. Mean as a junkyard dog. I didn't weigh but 140 pounds, but I fought all the time. I ain't kidding. I did. Fought all the time. Now, the thing about it is, but my parents taught me some values. They taught me some ethics growing up, not even realize what they were doing, preparing me for the ministry. They didn't even know it. But you know, one of the things that they helped us with the stronger, weaker principle. My brother's 5 years older than I am, and I cannot tell you how many times that a lot of the weight of the kids, of the siblings, was on his shoulder because he was 5 years older. And so he carried some of the burden, but he was taught to do so. If I couldn't do something, he was taught to help and assist me to do it. And then I have a younger brother, 2 years younger than I. And if he couldn't do something, I was taught to help him in those areas. Listen, it's called the stronger, weaker principle. But all this is I'm talking about here, this is unconditional love. There should never, ever in a home be allowed conditional terms to be loved or to be helped. Now think about this. Here's the next thing I want you to think about in the area of burden bearing. And I want you to listen very carefully. Protect your home from exposure. Remember I told you a couple of messages ago that you ought not to air out your dirty laundry to everybody? Now listen very carefully what I'm saying. We've got many in this church that do photography. Can I say that film exposed to light before development destroys the image? Is that right? Those of you am I right on that? Film exposed to light before development destroys the image. Now here's what happens. So many things get outside our home before we have time to address them. And pretty soon they're in the workplace, they're in the church, they're everywhere, and we haven't even had time to address, to meet the need, to nurture the need there before it gets out. Now listen very carefully, I want to help you with this. Exposure, what I'm talking about, is subjection to open knowledge. Listen, folks, some of the things that happen should never, ever leave the four walls of your home. Why? Because sometimes you're going to have a bad moment. Sometimes you're going to have a rough day. Sometimes you're going to say some things that you wish that you had never said before. Now you say, how can I protect my home, preacher, from exposure? Well, first of all, deal with your family adversities personally and privately. Now in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, remember the scripture gives some very important information to fathers. And here's what it says. Daddies, you need to listen to me. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Listen now, lest they be discouraged. So many kids are ready to leave home long before it's time to leave home because they're discouraged. And one of the things that happens that brings that discouragement is a lack of bonding. In other words, what happens is mamas and daddies expose the weakness of the children publicly. Now, folks, listen, don't ever do this. Don't ever say, well, you're just like, you remind me of, you're making a huge mistake. And can I give you some other advice? When your children mess up, don't use the phrase or use something against them. Say, you know what, I don't even think you're saved. Now, you listen to me, and what I'm telling you there, you're destroying their spirit. And I'm trying to help you by keeping things in your home that need to be dealt with personally and privately. Now, I want to say this, church. I realize that there will be family matters that you need to take care of in your home that require some open rebuke in front of the entire family for the purpose of family value. I understand that. But here's what I found out in raising a family. I found out that almost without exception, almost every situation I could deal with privately and personally without ever having my family or bringing my family to be exposed to public knowledge. You better listen to what I'm saying, because if not, you're going to hurt the bonding process in your home. Now, you say, well, preacher, what else should we do? Develop a family covenant. You say, like what? You have a family covenant together. It doesn't mean it has to be in writing and sealed in blood. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to make sure that the family understands we do not speak publicly about internal affairs in our home. We do not speak publicly about internal affairs in our home. That when there's a situation, there's a disagreement, we take care of it inside. Now listen, it's nobody else's business but the people that live in that home. And if they need to seek spiritual counsel or outside counsel, then they can do so. But I'm telling you, folks, what's happened is we've exposed our family to so much knowledge with people who don't need to know what's going on. They don't need to know that what's going on in your home. Daddy, you ought to deal with that. Now, listen to me. Speak positively or don't speak at all about your family. You know what I call this? I call this the thumper theory. Y'all remember Thumper? Remember Thumper was always talking? And Mama had to call him down while he was kind of relaxing, eating a little clover one day. And Mama said, Thumper, remember what your father said? And he stood up. If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. By the way, what are you going to gain by it anyway? You're not going to gain anything by it. So speak positively about your family or don't speak at all. Listen, do not criticize your spouse to others or shed a dark shadow on their temperament or character flaws. Everybody's got temperament flaws. Everybody's got character flaws. But those should never be the things that we expose. By the way, not just our spouse, our children either. Let me tell you something. The quickest way to destroy the bonding process in your home or undo all the things that you've accomplished in your home is to expose your family matters to public consumption. You're going to destroy it. And I'm telling you, mamas and dads, you better listen to what I'm talking about. If you destroy that bonding agent there, and you constantly are using your children as an example, or you're constantly exposing their weaknesses, let me tell you something, they won't even wait till they're 18. They're going to start looking for ways to leave. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that just burdens me. Listen, I've been there, folks. I've sat there. I've seen the parents that say, listen, what are we going to do? My 14-year-old daughter ran away. My 15-year-old son ran away. What are we going to do? Listen, it's one of the most frightening experiences a parent can ever go through. But what we go back, many times we go back and look, there were some weaknesses in the bonding elements. See, a family name should be honored. You know, one of the things that my dad did with us boys, because we were such knuckleheads, my two sisters are sweet. At least they think they are anyway. But the guys, we were rotten to the core, man. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you tonight is your family name means something. You ought to honor that name. You ought to teach your children that, listen, that whatever your name is, that name is a name of honor in our home. That name carries with it a testimony. They need to understand that. Listen, not just inside the house, but outside the house as well. Let me give you one last thing under this real quick and we'll move on. And that's this, church, listen. Burdens demand family attention. Burdens demand family attention. Now, think with me for just a moment. A family should be the first responder to a family member's crisis. It shouldn't be someone else. A family member ought to be the first responder. You say, why, preacher? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about that if a person in their own home feels that there's no hope within, many times it's going to lead to no help without. If they feel that there's no help inside, they're going to see that there's definitely no help outside. And when they get out of the world, they're going to be unprepared for what they're about to face. Listen, family should help the healing process. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9, listen to what it says. It says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. Did you notice that? Now, wait a minute. You know, I get so tired of people using this verse. Oh, you're a partaker of somebody's sin. You're just trying to cover it up. That's not what it said at all. It said, he that covereth a transgression, it said, seeketh love. That goes back to that unconditional love factor. Is seeking to help that person in that transgression to get over the top. And listen, what better place to help somebody than in your own home where they're nurtured and loved and cared for? Hey, listen, family should be the first responders on the scene to a family crisis. Let me say this. The home should be made a safe haven for healing, not a place for more hurt. A home should be a place for healing, a safe haven for your family to heal together. Hey, listen, to cast out or to abandon a family member is to lose your influence for good in their life. No better place to heal than the home. Mamas and daddies, no better place for your children to get over a crisis. And boy, they will have a crisis. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 12. The scripture goes on again and says, but love covereth all sins. Let me tell you something. Kids, you can never escape a mother's love. And you can never escape a mother's prayer. It doesn't matter where you go. And listen, doesn't matter what you do. When all else fails, listen to me, mama's going to love you to the end. Mama will love you to the end. Don't ever forget that. I promise you, there's not a young person in this room whose mother is still living that couldn't go to that mama and that mama would love them. You see, that word covereth here in Scripture means to provide a shelter for in order to offset the cost. You say, but oh, preacher, I've got a rebellious teenager, or I've got a kid, and they're just a handful, and they're just going through so many problems, they got so many issues. Well, listen, the best place to handle it's inside the house. That's where they get nurtured. That's where they get loved as they grow. At least, listen, when they're in your home, you can help them. When they're outside your home, they're beyond your help. There's nothing you can do outside the home. Now, love provides a healing balm for a wounded spirit like none other. Hey, you know what? The love in a home, it's like a tent for the hurting, for the helpless, for those, listen, that are humiliated. Boy, I'm telling you, people get their feelings hurt. People get things happen to them outside. Listen, the best place to come is to the house. Listen, you know where you can go and have a shoulder to cry on? At home. Yeah, at home. At home, you ought to provide that. You ought to have a shoulder for someone to cry on. And let me tell you something here tonight. If you didn't have that type of home, listen to me, then bless God, you create that home that you didn't have. Now, let me give you one other bonding agent real quick. And we're done tonight. I said, first of all, one of the things that I saw of the families back 50, 75 years ago that helped the bonding process at home, number one, They made God real. Number two, they were burden bearers. And here's the third one. It'll be very short. They knew how to make memories. They knew how to make memories. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 7. It says, the memory of the just is blessed. You know, I think often about the various things my parents did to create memories for us. I remember my parents took pictures. I've got lots of pictures in my home of me when I was a kid. I was sweet, cute. If you don't believe it, see, my wife's got the pictures. But what my parents did, they took a lot of pictures. I can still remember as a kid, my dad, y'all remember the old metal cased projector that you had that had the little reel on the side? I still remember my dad filming us kids, rolling the film, walking around. Listen, he had no idea what that meant. You know what my parents did? My parents didn't have a lot of money, but you know what they did every year? We didn't have to go far, but we went on some type of family vacation every year. And sometimes it wasn't very far. Sometimes it was just camping down at the state park. But you know what? It was something. It was a place that we could go as a family. It's a place that we could go and learn. The boys, my dad would teach us how to build a campfire. He would teach us how to do some various things. And I wish I still remembered all the different things that he taught me. Listen, I'll tell you something else my dad put us in. My dad put us in Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts to just learn some basic things. I got a picture of my parents. I got all to bring it sometime. I'm in my Cub Scout uniform, a cub. Had my little blue hat on, my blue uniform. Boy, I wish I could remember some of that stuff. I got out of it too soon, but I'm just saying, you know what that my parents were very good at? Making memories. They understood. Listen to me. I heard someone say this. I jotted it down. They said a butterfly measures not in minutes, but in moments. Think about the moments that mean something to you. And so listen, while I'm talking tonight, many of you can think back about family matters. You see, memories provide, church, a resource for us where we can pick roses in the wintertime. When things are going bad, you know what you can think about? You can think about the memories. Listen, when family members are going through a tough time or you lose a dear one and a loved one, listen, the memories that flood your mind, hold on to those because those are going to be roses in the wintertime. You see, a memory is a way of holding on to things that you love, the things that you are, and the things that you never want to lose. Teresa, you know why my parents took a lot of photos, a lot of pictures? It's because when you take a photograph, it's an instant of life that will never cease looking back at you. I was looking at some photos today. Now listen, come on ladies, help me out. You know when you get the old albums out, you start flipping through the old albums. I catch my wife all the time. She's in there, she's got some albums out, and she's flipping through there, and here's what I see her doing. And I said, honey, what's wrong? My baby. And listen, boy, I tell you, I got photo, I don't know how many we got. But you know, I'm just saying to you tonight, I'm done. Don't get too busy to make memories. You know, we live in such a hustle bustle life. Everybody's working. Everybody's going every which direction. If we're not careful, we don't have time to make any memories anymore. Can I say to you, Mom and Dad, what are you going to leave to your children? You say, well, they sure ain't getting a lot of money. You know what? If it came down to money or memories, I promise you, they'll take memories every time. Because memories are in the soul. Memories are in the heart. And they'll treasure them for the rest of their lives. You know what it is? It's bonding. You know what the families of old did? They made God real. They were burden bearers. And they understood how to make memories. Hey, let's get back to bonding our homes together, bonding our marriages together, and bonding mom and dads to the kids once again. Would you bow your heads tonight? Thank you for your attention. God bless you for all that you've done to make this day special. But with the heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm saved, no question," won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, "I'm a born-again Christian. If I died today, going to heaven, preacher, no question about it." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I think pretty much every hand was raised. There might have been one or two that I didn't get to see. But let me ask you something tonight. I wonder how many tonight would say, "Preacher,